All right. You should see a live button have popped up. We're not live anywhere. We're just recording, but this is streaming software. So we could be live lots of places, but we're just recording. And at this point, Mike.
Greetings, everyone. Are you talking? Jesus. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Hi-Fi Fanatics. Thank you for joining us. My name is Mike with Audio Architects. I'm here with my co-host, Giles from Home Theater Fanatics.
What's up, everybody?
And today we do have very special guests. I'm honestly pretty excited about this because, I mean, Sound United and Marantz are two huge brands that I have implemented into my systems over the years. So thank you guys for joining us. We have Joel, Simon, and Emmanuel.
Welcome, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So before we get started, maybe we can do a quick roundtable, and if you could let everybody know who you are and kind of what your roles are with Sound United and Marantz. They know who we are, but I think they want to know who you guys are. So Joel, maybe could you kick us off?
Yeah. So Joel Sietsema, I've been with Sound United for the last 7 years. I lead the Marantz and Class A brands for the company, and I'm excited to be on the show today.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm Simon Whitehorn. I'm Vice President of Design for Industrial Design and User Experience. The role is about defining how the products look and feel, behave, and how you interact with them for all of our brands, especially Marantz.
Awesome.
Hello, everybody. I'm Emmanuel Milo. So I've been with Sound United for 3 years, and I'm the Technical Category Manager for Hi-Fi and Mini System.
Awesome. It's very nice to have you all here. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and to speak to our audience about, you know, all the exciting things happening with the company. I just want to kind of jump right into it and get to it. You guys have two new special products that you're going to be rolling out here soon. And I'm excited to hear about them because they sound, from what I've heard so far, just from our, you know, our pre-talk, it sounds like this is going to be some really intense stuff that's going to hit the market really, really hard. So can you guys just start off by letting me know what you guys got going on out there and maybe start with the first product and then we'll move on to the next?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. I'll take point on this, guys, and feel free to fill in. you know, we're announcing two products today, both centered in our traditional core categories, or what we consider kind of hi-fi. It's what Marantz has always been known for. When Saul started creating products from his kitchen table to when he incorporated the company in 1953, hi-fi was definitely our core. And today we're excited to announce some additional new products to the family with a Model 30 integrated amplifier and the SACD30N, which is a combination SACD player and networked audio player. We're going to talk quite a bit more about it. Excited for the products, not just for what they represent, but also symbolically, it represents a new trajectory for the brand. We've spent quite a bit of energy on embracing our history, embracing our heritage, and trying to modernize it in a new way for hi-fi customers. And eventually, we want to make our way to other categories where maybe we can reach new customers and bring them into the Marantz family. So we're excited to talk about them quite a bit today. Emmanuel, maybe you have any additional comments on the Model 30?
No, I would say, and this is really, really something special for us and unique, which is the, we say, continuing on the tradition of what Marantz always been doing and improving and continue to modernize products. So basically what you're going to see there, and Simon talk about it, there's a new industrial design. But I would say if you look inside a product, you will find what a traditional Marantz amplifier is, and also integrating a couple of new technology that we're really, really proud to be able to bring to the level of the Model 30. So some of the things are new, some of the things are what we had previously in much higher model, but everything that you're going to get from those products is that sweet, most musical sound that you get from a Marantz product that we've been keeping and maintaining over the years, and that we continue to improve in every new product we release.
Awesome. So just, you know, to level set for the audience, you know, we'll have a lot of people watching that have a kind of a home theater slant. A lot of folks will be from two channel world, but for people that aren't 100% familiar with the term integrated amplifier, basically, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong about this particular model, but the idea there is that you have a device that allows you to input from a number of different source devices. And then the amplification for your two channels of output is also integrated. That's why it's integrated amplifiers all put together. So for folks that need this translated into home theater speak, this is kind of like an AVR, but for two channel. Does that kind of map correctly if you're trying to combine the lingos from two different product worlds?
I would say close enough. The main difference in that case, because we're a little bit more in the hi-fi world, I would say, is mm-hmm. you have a pure analog amplifier. So there's no digital input like you can find on an AVR or HDMI switching or thing like that. So the Model 30 is a pure analog piece. And then when you had the SACD30N, you had all that digital interface within your system. So basically, we want to make sure that we're not mixing in the hi-fi word as much as possible. I would say digital and analog word, because there could be some interference that happened there on the sound reproduction. So it is what hi-fi has been traditionally doing. Even if in the Marantz family, you will find also, I would say, two-channel product that mix those two. But at those price point, at that level of performance, you really want to separate everything.
So that makes good sense.
I have a question. I've actually owned the CR611, I believe. Is this going to be an incredibly, you know, the upgraded version of the idea of that? Because that was a very popular model amongst Europe and the US market. So I was just kind of curious, is this going to kind of take the best parts of that unit and just create something completely different and better? Or what, like, is that reasonable to say?
Yeah, I don't know if it's really reasonable to compare those two, because the MCR611 is more a kind of small mini system in a way, mm-hmm. and the use case are really, really different. So it is a fantastic unit, don't get me wrong there, but it's a all-in-one integrated with the CD player and everything in it that you can put in a bedroom, in an office, with the fantastic sound. While you're looking at the Model 30 or SACD30, you're really going into another category of product. So the principle or the idea of the product is the same. Yes, it is able of two-channel reproduction. You can play back CD, you can stream music, but you're really at a complete different level of performance.
Okay. Great. Now, so from a, you know, speeds and feeds kind of talk, you know, I want to talk a little bit about that. And, you know, for everybody watching, I'm going to throw up images so you'll be able to see exactly what we're talking about as we do this. So this is two channel. What type of amplifier is integrated into this? Is this like a class AB amp, class A, class D? And what kind of power can folks expect to get out of this, and what ohm loads would they be able to push? Is it, you know, limited to 8, or would they be able to push some, you know, larger floor standards that might come in at forums, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so that's actually a good question. So we have, as I was mentioning, it is not a new thing we're putting in the Model 30. It is something that we initially introduced with the PM10. For example, that was the first time doing that. So it is a class D amplification. But we, I would say, do it in a much different way that you normally use to class D. So I don't want to open the box there, because I know there's going to be a lot of, when you say class D, then there's going to be a lot of reaction of people in the hi-fi world of saying, hey, class AB is better, class D is not. But it all, I would say there's been a lot of breakthrough in class D amplification in the past year. And we did a lot of testing and listening to ensure that basically that solution we're using was at the level and nobody would be able to hear the difference. So we're not necessarily promoting the fact that it is a class D amplification, but it is a class D amplification with a pretty unique design, because we're going to go with direct pure analog mode directly inside the amplification module. And the amplification module is connected directly in the back of the amplifier to the speaker terminal. So there is no cable there. So it's a direct path. So it's really, the idea there is to preserve the purity of the signal and have no wire inside the unit or whatever that can mix, I would say, high current or with low current and create any type of interference. So if you show then know a kind of the construction, it is something which is pretty unique to the Model 30. So if you look inside the product, you will see that you almost have two product in one. So there's two separate power supply, one for the amplification, one for the preamplifier, and there's also separate board for the preamplification and the amplification. And as I mentioned earlier, the amplification is connected directly to the speaker terminal. So it's almost a kind of two product in one there. It's a very unique design that we've been refining for the last 4 or 5 years now.
That's well, outstanding.
One point on that, Giles, and Emmanuel mentioned the PM10. PM10, for those who don't know, is our very top best amplifier that we have in our entire assortment. So it is the best benchmark in terms of the performance that Marantz can deliver. So to have many of the elements related to the amplification trickle down from there to this product is a testament to what we've been able to do here.
Yeah, that's great. And, you know, for the folks out there that when they hear Class D that might have that kind of visceral reaction that you were alluding to, I can comment a bit on that. You know, this kind of Class D, and I've not heard this unit yet because it's not out there in the wild, but Class D today is not the same Class D that you're looking at in PA amplifiers from 10 years ago, right? I mean, it's a completely different animal. I would really challenge people to sit down with a unit like this and you know, maybe a Class AB or something that they're familiar with, and critically listen and see if there's a difference that would make them not appreciate this particular product. My guess is that I think people are going to listen to this and be like, holy cow. That's my anticipated reaction. And I look forward to having that reaction myself, hopefully. Now, how much juice does this guy have? Everybody wants to know how much power you got. Come on. 800x2. What you got?
So it is, of course, one of the big advantages of Class D amplification, right? So it's produced much more power than what you're going to get in Class AB. And because it's a switching power amplifier, it's also far more efficient and produce less heat. The efficiency of the product is far superior. So to answer to the question, so we are able to produce, I would say, 2x200 watts at 4 ohm or 2x100 watts at 8 ohm. And one of the main advantage also of the solution we're using, because you mentioned about the speed here, in a traditional switching mode amplifier, we noticed that when by measurement, it's pretty easy to see that depending on the load, the speaker impedance you have connected to the back of the product, you're going to have some variation in the frequency reproduction of the unit. So, and that happened mainly, I would say, above 16 to 20 kilohertz. But we're using a special design there with, I'm not going to go into too much technical there, but we have a feedback loop in the amplifier with a low pass filter to control that. And we really guarantee that no matter the load of your speaker in the back being from 2 ohm to 8 ohm, that we guarantee the same, I would say, frequency reproduction for the speaker, which is really, really also unique into a Class D design amplification in the switching mode.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
Awesome. So I'm really excited about the SACD30N because I'm a huge CD fan. I know you probably don't hear that too often because everybody is crazy about vinyl, you know, and we actually have a Marantz turntable here at the house and it works fantastic, but I'm a CD guy. I love CDs. So what is this player going to do? What new technology have you guys incorporated into it and what can people expect from it?
So I would say this is also touching on a very also other unique thing from I would say in Sound United and the Marantz side. It's we manufacturing our own CD drive that we you probably know that from the past, but Marantz at the time it was owned by Philips was part of just the first company who released a CD player. So we have almost 35 years of I would say expertise in making CD. So that mechanism you have in the SACD30N is kind of the result of everything we learned over that period of time and refinement that we've been able to put in that product. So it is a pretty unique drive, which is very, very stable, which is very, very important, and which is able to play back SACD, CD, but also DVD-ROM. So if you still want to burn a DVD-ROM with high-resolution file, DSD-FI, all the time, you can do that also as well. And the last thing I would say, there's so much detail about all that, I would say, attention to detail we put in the product. Because we create the SACD 30N as being a digital hub, and we'll probably touch on that, because there's far more than just CD and SACD. So when we developed that product, we believe it was important that, for example, if you stream music, that there is no potential interference coming from the mechanism. So when you're not in CD or SACD mode, we actually switch off the power supply to the drive. So if you have one of those units and you switch the source back to CD or SACD, or you push the eject button to load a disk, you will notice a little bit of time because we need to reboot the whole system. So it's all those small things we've been learning and implementing in this product.
awesome.
The attention to the detail.
If to take just one step back so I can talk about these two units in the context of them being a pair, right? Because they obviously, you know, people can see on the screen the that the units are stylistically the same. They're obviously meant to work together. And the way that I see this is that the SACD30N is the gateway for digital input into the analog 30N. So anything that needs to be DAC'd or, you know, anything that's coming in from the streaming world, this is the device that will take all of that. And then you have, it looks like there are a couple of different sets of pre-outs, RCA outputs. There's a fixed set and a variable set. And I would like to talk about that for a minute in just a minute. But basically anything that you need to be digital coming into the environment would first stage through this unit. A lot of people, when I talk to them, you know, they're interested in, I want to have a two-channel environment, but there's always the but. I need a TV, and I have a HDMI source, but that source might also have optical out or something like that. So the idea then would be to feed that audio into this digital interface, which then would move into the fully purely analog environment, and it kind of keeps – it's like the old McDonald's McBLT. I don't know if you guys remember that thing, but it had two containers, and it kept the hot side hot and the cold side cold. So this is kind of like the keeps the digital side digital and the analog side analog, and then you know this is kind of the pass through. Is that
that's a great analogy?
You might have to use that again. Yeah.
So is it? Do you agree that that's kind of what's going on here? And you know, if you need something digital, this is the way in. But yeah. Then obviously with the Model 30, it's got pre-ins or inputs, RCA level inputs, low level inputs for tons of different stuff. Correct.
Yeah, that's correct. And actually, the way you describe it is exactly what it is. So the idea is really to separate those two words. Of course, Model 30 and SACD30 have been developed together to work perfectly together. And Simon can talk about that in the design and the way we do things there, including when you wake up the product, they in sync together. But both elements can be used separately also as well. So if you go to the SACD30N, so I was mentioning the Model 30 to be a two-in-one, where you almost have a pre-amplifier and an amplifier, which I'll separate. The SACD30N is almost a six-in-one, because you basically have that CD drive, which is there, so you can play back your CD. You have a USB DAC in the product, so you can connect your computer. If you have your file on your computer and you're using a piece of software like Rune or whatever, you can connect it in that way. You also have, I would say, at the heart of the system, our EOS module, that I don't know if people are familiar with that, but it's what we refer as our IoT platform. So it gives you access to streaming music, being Tidal, being Amazon Music HD, being TuneIn or any other platform. So it gives you that access with a dedicated app. You can also have a USB-B, but there's also, I would say, in the product, a pretty unique DAC, and we can talk about that because that's also a unique way that Launch is doing that in that product. You have a headphone amplifier, and you also have a pre-amplifier because we have a variable input. So if you want to use the SACD30N directly connected to a computer and use it as a headphone amplifier, it is a fantastic unit for that, because each of the elements, we can talk about 20 minutes about them, but everything we implement in that product to ensure you're going to get that most musical sound that Bounce is spending hours in making sure that we reproduce every single piece of music in the best possible way.
It sounds like you took different components that people usually buy separately and just kind of, boom, shoved it into one unit.
Yeah, the idea was to make a digital app, right? If you think about digital source, because CD is also a digital source. So basically, any digital content you can think of, the SACD30N will be able to take care of it. And then you send that signal with the amazing way we do the digital conversion in the SACD30N and feed that to your analog amplifier.
Awesome. So shifting gears slightly, I'd like to talk about the kind of the industrial design of the units. So if you look at the 30N or the SAC, or I'm sorry, the 30, it carries over kind of the Marantz porthole design, right? With the circular front LCD display. But if you look at the SACD, it has a rectangular design. Now, is that, you know, maybe subconsciously a call out to analog versus digital? You know, when I look at them, obviously, you know, they're stylistically the same, but, you know, to me, one feels a little more analog and the other feels a little more digital. What went into the thought of the design of this, the look and feel?
Well, there's always a balance of the form and function. And at this juncture of the evolution of this language, I mean, the important thing to remember, this is the beginning of a new generation of industrial design language for Marantz. And the porthole is obviously something which we cherish, and we sort of see it as our, I guess, our Rolex or Panerai watch face in a way. But it's also emblematic, right, we want to carry through to the future, right? And I think it's something you're going to see us emphasize more. You know, with each generation of product, there's a limitation on display technology and, you know, more the drivers that drive the displays. So at this juncture, the square screen actually is just more suited to that application. That might not be the case in the future. In the future, we are looking at more higher resolution. There could be better screens, better OLED screens that we use. But certainly, I mean, it's an interesting thing you've actually pointed out, that, you know, one is representing a digital and an analog past. But, you know, in designing this language, we've done a lot of sort of reaching into the past with a very sort of honorific way, but modernizing those elements and bringing them forward. So you will see the porthole emphasized a lot more in the future.
Yeah.
And I think it actually extends beyond the porthole. I mean, just the symmetry in the units, the way the control interfaces are laid out, you know, even the color and the finishing and the construction, I think in many cases, to use your term, Simon, honorific of the past.
Yeah.
And, you know, we spent a lot of energy trying to figure out, okay, if we're going to differentiate Marantz, if we're going to grow this brand into the future, how do we do that in the best way we know how? How do we be the best version of Marantz that we can be? And so, you know, in talking with our customers and talking with dealers, it's very clear that we need to harness our heritage. We have it over almost seven decades worth of it. And I think a lot of brands, when you think about how they evolve over time, they only have to do it from one product cycle to the next or from one decade to the next. But in our case, we have to go through generations, which is really hard for a brand that is almost 70 years old. How do you stay relevant from generation to generation? And I think the way that we're intending to do that in this case is to really, again, look to the past, look to a lot of the famous products, legendary products that we've created, modernize it, do a lot of the other things that we need to make this product work at retail, packaging, a lot of things that customers today care about and they want to know, they want to see in our products. So we're trying to sort of put it all together. And I think what you see with the Model 30 and the SACD30N are the result of that work.
Yeah. One thing I want to call out, and this is subtle, and I don't know if this is something that other people look for in equipment, but if you look at the front of both of these units, they are absolutely symmetrical. And this is down to even the labeling on the devices. And I really appreciate that balance in equipment where, you know, so, you know, all your buttons aren't all stuck on one side, and even to the point where you have a power button on one side and then a headphone jack on the other side, and they mirror each other in size and shape, right? So I really, really appreciate that. And man, I think they're just going to look awesome. And another thing, and I hope I know what the answer to this is. The silver. Are you going to sell that in the USA?
Oh, we hope so. I'll leave that to the other guys because that's the one I want.
The silver looks so good.
Charles, thanks for recognizing that, because that drive for symmetry is not something that, it seems like a really easy, simple thing to do. But to create that sort of elegant proportionality and simplicity requires a lot of effort, not just from our design teams, but from the, you know, mechanical engineering, the acoustic engineering. It's something we could test to, like just moving a screw sometimes can affect the sound quality. So just that is painstaking work to get right. And I appreciate you noticing that. But I think it plays a huge role in, you know, establishing the elegance of that. But we do, as Joe was saying, we look back in the history, that symmetry has always been part of the brand. I mean, we've had some missteps along the way, but as a sort of form of continuity through the brand, that's been there.
I bet there was some engineer somewhere saying, just put all the buttons beside themselves.
Oh, yeah. Spread them out. Yeah, it'll be 20 cents cheaper, right?
Exactly. And then I guess my final question on the fascia of the units and the materials, I can't really tell from the images the material type that's used. I can't tell if it's plastic or aluminum or some kind of coated material. What? So it looks like there's kind of a front faceplate that stands out a bit, and then there's the material for the main unit behind that. What are those? Is it all plastic, or is there something different?
No. The core fascia is aluminum, a high grade aluminum on there, and it's very. One thing we did when we look back at the history of Marantz, and as I've been honorific to that, is we've always had a sense of materiality in the product, like rich materiality, and that's been very prevalent in the product. And it's something we want to emphasize. So when we use aluminum, we use it in an appropriate way. And we also use plastics. People turn their nose at plastics, but plastics have a quality all of their own, right? And there's a real high grade to plastics. They can isolate, you know, vibration and other things as well. So we use a combination of aluminum, plastics, and that the plastic part is easy to get that beautiful texture, which is emblematic of the way our products behave. You know, it's much easier to get to achieve in plastics, but also helps to isolate that sort of central unit. So we use the right materials for the right task. You know, and I think that there's this sort of interplay of form and function, but I think that the Marantz language has always been a bit richer and a bit warmer, and it's something we wanted to touch, you know, people's souls a lot more with Marantz. It's one of the few hi-fi brands that I think feels really warm. It's not a clinical brand. And, you know, like we describe it, yes, you know, as designers, we all cherish form and function and simplicity, but there's a big difference between doing a Volkswagen and a Bentley. Right, and they both kind of do the same thing. So there's a sort of, you know, celebration of that a lot more in the product. But yeah.
Well, I think, and Simon, you hit on something that I think, you know, you could even extend a little bit further. But when you use different materials, no matter what, whichever material we choose, it has to be considered. It has to be the use, the texture, the proportions, everything has to be considered. And Giles, I think what you pointed out related to the proportions, I think is emblematic of what we're also doing with the materiality on the side of things.
Awesome.
All right, guys. Well, is there anything else you wanted to add that we missed in the conversation that you'd like our audience to know? Well, I think two important things is date of release and price point. Yeah, were we able to discuss that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to be releasing these products in September. So the official announcement, of course, is September 1st, and we are going to be making these available for purchase September 15th, I believe, is the day. Price points are $2,500 USD for each. So the amplifier will be $2,500, and the SACD network audio player will be $2,500 as well. Yeah, I think one other thing I would just keep an eye on Marantz. I mean, we're doing some really interesting things right now, not just in two-channel and integrated amplifiers and source pieces, but where we go within home theater, where we're intending to go beyond that, I think is really exciting plans ahead. We think Marantz can be even better than it is today, and we're excited for what the future is going to bring.
Yeah, I had to cover some boxes behind me, actually.
He's like, don't look back there. That's secret stuff.
Nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. You know, we're very happy that you're on the show with us today to talk about these products. And, you know, obviously we have a very broad audience that loves two channel home theater speakers, the whole world, right? Anything that's related to AV, they're really interested in. So whenever there's, you know, things in the future to talk about, we'd love to have you back to discuss those items. You know, everything from the business side of the house of where can we buy them, and you know, what's the thought process around the products, to the technical speeds and feeds of, you know, what goes into the guts, you know, what kind of power is there, does it do 8K or whatever it might be, and then you know, and then Marantz, especially the industrial design, the usability, the interface, because when you get into a higher quality of product, from my perspective, the look and feel of the device, the usability of the device is as important as what it does, right? If I can't enjoy using the device, then it diminishes the complete value of that product. And I really see how all of those pieces have come together for these two units to produce, you know, what we're seeing now, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome. I'm really glad you pulled that up, Charles. I think one of the things that comes across is a lot of our customers along with their sort of acuity and sensitivity to audios, you know, those people typically have a strong aesthetic kind of response as well. And that's something that we've been really keen to build on.
I mean, most of your followers probably know that we just launched our first 8K receivers too. So those are out now.
Yeah, Mike and I were just discussing those before. Yeah, we'll have to dig deeper, more deeply into that, because that's a big change in the home theater world for folks.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time. And we are excited for September. This looks to be a quite momentous month for everyone in the Marantz and Sound United family. So best of luck with the launch, and we're excited to help you in any way we can.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.